I believe we've got a good word from the Lord today. We're going to continue talking from where we were last week as we talk about faith sees. And I've been led to do a little more review today than normal, but that's okay. If we heard it once, we can afford to hear it again because faith will just continue to rise. So, John 1, verse 16, as we started last week, says, "For of His fullness, of the fullness of Jesus." Now just ponder that for a minute. We were just singing, "How great Thou art." So think about all that He is in that fullness. It says, "For of His fullness, we have all received." There's not a one of us in here that hasn't received something from His fullness. And what is it? Grace upon grace, meaning it's something that we don't earn. We could never have earned it. It's a free gift. But it says, of His grace we've all received. And that word received, as we have shared and as others have shared, is lambano, which literally means to take, to grasp, to take hold of. It's translated to accept, to catch, to obtain. And so if we're getting all this grace, how do we get it? And Ephesians 2:8 tells us what? That we are saved, but it's how? By grace, through faith, through the work of faith. And again, it says it's not anything we can do. It's a total gift. But we receive every grace we have from God. Healing graces, grace of peace, salvation as we see. Anything we receive from God, we've got to receive it, all those graces, by or through our faith. So with every blessing that comes from Him by faith, then we need to make sure we understand what faith is. And so what we talked about last week is Hebrews 11:1. It says, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Now, do you have that in the New King James or King James also? There we go. This translation says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for." Now, when I read that, the word substance to me means it's something material. It's something real. The word actually means two words, hypostasis, and it literally means to be supported from something under. So it's almost like our faith is a foundation of everything we're hoping for. And then it says it's the evidence of things not seen. Let me read you the Passion Translation. I think it does a pretty good job of this. "Now, faith brings our hopes into reality." And I need to stop there because there may be someone who's listening who hears the word hope and you equate it to say, "Well, I just wish this would happen." That's not what we're talking about, is it, folks? We're talking about Bible hope, which means a joyful, confident expectation, and I would go ahead and say, of God's goodness being available and being given to me. So with that, let me just read it again. "Now, faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for." And then I really like this phrase. "It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen." And so we locked into this concept of things that are seen and are things that are not seen. You know, it says in Hebrews 11:27 that Moses left Egypt. She's got it for us. "Not fearing the wrath of the king." This was after he had killed the guy. He was confident that he could go away. But look at this phrase. "For he endured as seeing him who is" what? "Invisible." So this is saying that, and I believe this is what faith is seeing the Lord, His promises, His word, everything that He is, even though we can't see it with these physical eyes. And so when you think about that, then, for my physical eyes, faith becomes the physical evidence the physical evidence of those things that we cannot see. But we know that we are more spirit than we are this flesh. And our spirit man also has eyes and ears. So we can hear and see in the spirit. So our spiritual eyes concerning faith, then, faith is really the evidence of what we see with our physical eyes. I mean, our spiritual eyes, not our physical eyes. Now, that cannot take place unless there's what? Unless there's revelation of the Holy Spirit to you and I to really grasp what the Lord is telling us. We may have used the illustration last week of describing a dog. I think we did. The dog I have, which is a big, brown, fluffy doodle pup. But when I start saying big, brown, fluffy dog, then you get a what? A vision. And so you don't see the dog, but yet you are what? You're seeing the dog in your mind's eye. And so this works the same way with the Word. What do you say? How many of you have ever read a scripture dozens of times? And one day you read it, and it's like the light bulb just turns on. And what do you say most of the time? Oh, I see that. And what has happened is you've had it revealed to your spirit. And that's where our faith works, is in our spirit. And it's just like seeing ourselves as healed. We need to be able to take God's word, see what it says about healing, and then see ourselves with that manifesting in it. And that comes by meditating the word, as we talked some about that last week. But we have to ask the question then, if I'm looking at my physical flesh and all that's going on with it, and I catch this glimpse in the Word of what Jesus has done for me and of His fullness that I'm receiving, healing grace, if I'm seeing that and I'm seeing the flesh, which one is more real? Actually, now it may not be more real to you right now, but it can be. The spirit realm, that's that realm which will not go away, which will not change. That's the way things are. And so what we have to train ourselves to do then is to begin to see things with our spirit and be controlled by that more so than we are with our flesh. Now, I'm not here to say all this is real easy sometimes. You've got to put some effort into it, to work at it, to develop your spiritual eyes so that you can see. And again, the Holy Spirit will help us there. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:17 is a verse that we all know. No, I did it again. I copied the wrong scripture. Go to, what was it, Mary, last week? 7? Yeah. No, that's not, yeah, she hasn't got it up there yet. Try verse 7. I can read it to you. Basically, what this verse says is, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And I apologize to you. I took this from our notes last week where I had the wrong one and just replicated it. So we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, faith moves us so that we see more with our spiritual sight than what? Than the physical sight. And so we talked about dominant eye. Now, you know you have an eye that sees more than one other does, and it'll fix. And you can tell which is your dominant eye, right or left, by viewing an item and then closing your eyes. And if it moves, that's not your dominant eye. It's the one that doesn't move. So what is it? What am I trying to say here? That we need to let our dominant eye concerning spirit and faith, I mean, and tangible things on this earth, the carnal eyes, we need to let it be our spiritual eyes. And to do that, then, we have to have revelation of the Word, revelation of what the blood has accomplished for us and made us righteous, revelation of who we are in the Lord and His covenant with us. The Passion Translation says this, "For we live by faith," in other words, believing, "not by what we see with our eyes." Now we can take that one and go to Galatians 5:16, which says, Paul is saying that we need to walk by the Spirit, and when we do, we will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Now, it's interesting because this word walk is peripateo, and it means to go and to walk all around, to tread all around. It's also translated walk, obviously. But it can also mean to be occupied with. And I really like that because what you look at is going to determine your future in every shape, form, or fashion. Your feelings, you may feel like they're not changing. Well, I would say, what are you looking at then? You might have mentioned that in a recent teaching, or I believe I heard Trey say that recently, or maybe it was in a note I saw. But what are we occupied with? And we're occupied by what we see with our spiritual eyes, which is the revelation that the Scripture gives us concerning our healing. Now, I mentioned a quote, and I think it's worth saying again. F.F. Bosworth, who's wrote a number of books, including Christ the Healer, said it this way, "Walking in faith is walking by sight of a better kind." Walking in faith is walking by sight of a better kind. And then we concluded last week, or 2 weeks ago, by looking at two examples. The one of Moses and the children of Israel's in Numbers, where the snakes came out and bit and they were dying. And the Lord instructed him to produce a bronze serpent and he raised it up. And it talked about as they looked at that, they were healed. That look is not a casual glance, but as I studied that word, it means more than just staring at it. It means to be fully occupied with what it's telling you. And so what they were seeing then is not just a snake on a pole, but they were seeing their sin. They were seeing the bite of a snake, which was killing them, being lifted up away from them, which is exactly what we need to see that Jesus has done for us. We also looked at blind Bartimaeus, who's not blind anymore, and he was begging, and he was calling out to Jesus, and they were saying, "He doesn't have time for you. Leave him alone." And Jesus called him, and then all of a sudden they say, "Hey, he's calling for you." And what was the first thing blind Bartimaeus did? And I can't tell you how important this is. First thing he did was he cast away the cloak that he had that he used to collect gifts when he was begging. It's what identified him with his state. So I would say blind Bartimaeus saw himself seeing before he could see. Man, that's so important. I shared also about a healing that I heard Andrew Womack talk about. And again, I don't know if he was the one ministering or he was telling the account of someone else, but they were praying for a blind person. And they told this blind person, "When you can see, open your eyes." So they just opened their eyes and said, "I can't see." And he said, no. Meditate on this verse for a second. "And when you can see, open your eyes." What was he saying? When you see yourself seeing, open your eyes and you will see. And that's exactly what happened. So we just see over and over in Scripture that faith sees. And when it does, then, what's the next step that happens? And that's really where we want to get to today. I would say to you that when we begin to see the things that are not seen, we will begin to use our mouth and speak and declare those things as ours, belonging to us. So when faith sees, it speaks. And it speaks out of your mouth and my mouth. I want you to go with me to Romans 4. And we're going to look at 7 or 8 verses for probably the next 15 minutes or so. And this is talking about Abraham. It starts out by saying, "What then shall we say that Abraham, our father," and he's also mentioned as what? The father of faith. "What has he found according to the flesh?" Well, the answer to that is he found he couldn't earn anything from God himself. And I want to do this because I believe the Abrahamic covenant that the Lord established with him, it was a covenant of faith, which is more akin to what you and I have today with the Father than the law which was given, which was what? A covenant really of works on their part. And that's really what the next verse says in verse 2. "For if Abraham was justified by works, which he knew he couldn't be, then he had something to boast about. But he couldn't boast about this before God because he sure could not do anything to earn that right standing with God." Now, I wanted to use these verses because that's the first thing that happens to us when we are born again. We receive that righteousness, and then our salvation comes as we confess, as we speak, which is, again, what we are talking about today. The third verse, "For what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God." You can say he had faith. You can say he trusted totally in. He was fully confident of. He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So he was placed in right standing, not by anything he did, but by what? Just believing what the Father had told him would come to pass. Now, I want to read a section of verses starting in verse 17, and then we're going to read 18 through 21, and we're going to come back to 17. "As it is written," it says, "I have made you a father of many nations." Now, this is the New Testament version of what the Lord told Abram would happen to him. Remember, he was childless, way beyond years, as we'll see in a moment. Really didn't have any hope at this point of ever having an heir. And the Lord began to speak this to him. He actually told him to look up in the sky, and what he saw was all the stars, and he said, "That's how your posterity is going to be. That's what's going to flow through you." So the Father said, "I have made you a father of many nations," and he told him that in the presence of God. God's presence was with him, whom he believed. And then this is the phrase that we're going to come back in a moment and look at. "God, who gives life to the dead and calls things which do not exist," can I just say, which you cannot see, "as though they did," or "as though you see them." So we're going to come back to that, but that's the context of these next verses. So then Abraham, contrary to hope, now he desired, he hoped for a child, but in the natural, he knew it wasn't going to happen. So he was still having to look at that and have that hope. But contrary to hope, in hope he believed. Now, what was his hope? What was the foundation for that hope that he could believe? The word of the Lord. So in hope believed that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. Now, if you look at that first phrase, "so that he became the father of many nations." You know, when the Lord changed his name from Abram to Abraham, put his name on it, one meant father, the other meant high father, or father of many. And so, what is he saying here? He said he became the father of many nations, but I want you to see that. He became that before he had a child. What are you saying, men? Well, let me just say it this way. He saw himself as a father of many children and included many nations before he ever had a child. And how could he do that? It was according to or in proportion to what was spoken to him. So shall your descendants be as those stars that were throughout. Then verse 19 says, and not being weak in faith, so he was strong in his conviction, he did not consider, how about we say look at, or he did not pay attention to, or he did not consider, as this word says, his own body. Because how was his body? Already dead at his age in terms of being able to produce a child since he was about 100 years old. And not only did he have to consider what he knew he was, his body that he was living in, he had to look at Sarah all the time. And he saw, you in the same shape I am, girl. And so everything that he saw in the flesh went totally contrary to what the Lord had spoken to him and to what he was seeing as his source of hope. Now, verse 20. Even with all that, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Now, stop there. We know that in the New Testament we're told that we ought to be unwavering, that we were not to waver, go back and forth, be tossed around like the waves of, like you would if you were in the ocean, the waves were bumping you all around. In other words, we're not on again, off again. How about if I say it this way? That we're not seeing what God said one minute, but the next minute, what I'm looking at with these eyes dominates. Then I go back and forth and back and forth. So he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. So my question as I'm reading this is, how, Lord, did that happen? How could he do that? What enabled him to have no wavering? Well, if we keep reading, it tells us. But he was strengthened in faith. Now, what the Lord spoke to me as I was meditating this week, because I asked, how was he strengthened? How did you strengthen him in the faith? And what I heard was the word I spoke to him would produce his heir, but it would also increase or strengthen his faith. So the same word that caused Isaac to be born, that the Lord prophesied and declared over him, if we will allow it, it will also strengthen us inside in our faith, such that we can believe it continually. You don't have to look at the promise and then go try to get faith somewhere else. The two are just intertwined. They're hand in hand. And I think that's so important because we want to believe, but we're not strong in faith. But don't start going looking for other things. Just hold fast to that word, that promise that the Lord has given you. And so when he was strengthened in faith, what did he begin to do? Give glory to God. The most valuable praise you can give God, the most valuable thing and the best way to give praise to God is by giving thanks to him for what he said he's going to do for you. And as Pastor Trey likes to say, you want to do it on this side of the Red Sea before you cross over to that side where you've walked over on dry land to it. Now, what are we saying? Well, over here, I'm giving praise to God, and I'm looking at this sea and saying, how in the world am I going to get through that? So before you know how you're going to get through it, it's when we're praising. We don't just wait, as the children of Israel did, to have the song and dance until you get across it. And that's one of the ways that I really think you're going to know if I'm strong in faith by what's coming out of your mouth. Is it, I don't understand how in the world, or is it, God, I do not understand, but I'm giving glory to you because what? I can see myself manifesting that promise that you've given me. So for many of us, as we're talking about healing school today, I can see myself as healed. And then verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he, the Lord, has promised, he was able to perform it. He was able to bring it about. So he not only saw himself being able to have children, he saw that the Lord was in this with him, and this was not something he had to believe and let happen on his own. Can I tell you, if you find yourself that you've been wavering and going back and forth in something that you've been believing for, as all of us do, don't accept any condemnation. Abraham also had trouble with this. Ishmael came out of his wavering. And problems that it caused just multiplied even to us today. So don't condemn yourself because the Lord didn't give up on Abraham. Now, I want to go back to verse 17, and I want to spend some time in this verse. As it is written, and here's the promise, that, and that's why I urge you, when you have something come against your body, unless it's something that it's immediately a life and death matter, take a moment and seek the Lord and just say, speak to me on this. And I have found if you'll do that, you'll get a verse that will turn that around. And I think that's much better than going around and begin just spouting out, saying the 20 healing verses that you may have memorized. So seek the Lord for that word as Abraham got here. And then it says God. So it's talking about God. And look at what it says about him. God, who gives life to the dead and calls things which do not exist as though they did not, as though they did. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now, I'm going to start dissecting this by looking at a word that you wouldn't suspect, and it's the word and, because that word in the Greek has a connotation that I want you and I to just grab hold of. This word and is kai or kahi, and it literally, the definition of it is that it connects two phrases where each one of those phrases has its own importance, strength, or power. Now, if you think about that then, what does it connect? God gives life to the dead, and the connecting, the other part of it is calls things which do not exist as though they did. You know, this is almost what God is doing and how he's doing it. He sees it. He sees the fact that they're dead, yet he gives life to it. How does he do that? By calling things which do not exist as though they did. Now, I want to pause here, and I want to make sure you ponder that, because this is important. People will say all kind of things to you when you start calling something that be not as though it were. But we have to see that God, this is the way he operated, and it's the way we should operate as well. Now, the next part of this is who quickeneth from the dead, the first part of the before the conjunction and. He makes alive the dead. You might say he even gives life back to something. You also could say that that's very similar to creating something from nothing. And we'll see those in just a moment. But the lines I really want to focus on, because we're talking about faith sees and then faith speaks, is this last one. Calls things which do not exist as though they did. Calls. What does that really mean? It really means to speak out something. So this is what God is doing. And he's speaking about those things which don't exist. Okay, now let's put that in the context of us today. Those things which we with our physical eyes cannot see. He calls those things which we cannot see, which do not exist to our flesh, as though they did. Now, before I jump any further, I want to be clear in what I'm saying here. He is not calling things that be as though they are not. Now, why do I say that? I've probably done it, and I've heard other people do it. When something comes against them, and let's pick something, a problem with the heart. Somebody gets a diagnosis of AFib. That seems to be one I'm hearing more and more about. I know and have seen people start saying, I do not have AFib. I do not have AFib. I do not have AFib. I've heard people do it with cancer. I've done it with pain. But what are you doing? There are two things that are happening when we do that. The first thing is faith does not deny a fact of what's going on here. It just says that fact doesn't or can't live in my body. The other thing that you're doing, if you say, I don't have AFib or I don't have cancer or whatever it is, where is your focus going to? What you see in the unseen realm is not cancer. Yet that's what you're declaring. That's what you are drawing attention to. So I want you to see, as we're saying things, as we're calling things that be not as though they were, we're giving attention to that. And isn't that one of the definitions we looked at earlier? So I just want you to be careful. Faith does not deny facts. The fact is, I'll talk about me. I've had some knee pain in the past 2 weeks. I did not go around saying, my knee doesn't hurt. My knee doesn't hurt. The fact was, it bothered me to walk. But I went around saying, my knee is sound and whole, which is what the Lord told me. And today I'm walking and standing with zero pain. Now, might I have to fight that again? Sure. So I just continue to do it in the same way. And some of you are nodding that, yeah, you're probably fighting similar things. So God says he is calling those things that are not. What you can't see as though they were. How can he do that? Because in the spirit realm, in the words that he's going to speak, he knows that they're real. In other words, you can see that. And so your faith is doing it. So your faith, when you begin to do that, then what is your focus turn to? It turns to the promise of God. It turns to what is desired. It turns to what the Word says has already been provided to you. Already been provided. So I would ask the question, what are we seeing? What are we letting take and capture our attendance? These physical things that we see with our body, the things that doctors tell us, don't want to be ugly to the doctor. If you've submitted yourself to him and he says this over you, then he may say it, but as soon as you walk out, you need to do what? Start saying more what the Lord has spoken about this. Now, this verse says that he calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So this is also saying that the Lord sees this as a finished work. And this is what our healing is, a finished work. My belief is that if it is a finished work, I don't have to ask God to heal me because He already has. And that's why I begin to speak more of what He said in His Word, the promise He gave me, than I do what I'm feeling. I think if we begin to ask, Lord, heal this, heal this, heal that, then what we're really saying is we need You to do something. When He said what? You've already got it. Now, that sounds harsh, but I'm telling you, if we practice this in our lives, and may I suggest that you begin practicing it with small things? Let's say you have some kind of headache. Is your first inclination, as in is with most of the people in this world, in our modern world, go grab an aspirin or a Tylenol? If that's our first inclination, then guess what we're seeing? Not His Word first. Now, why are you saying this? Yeah, we have it. We can go do it. If you don't have faith for it, take it. Know where you are. Be willing to admit what you do have faith for or not. You don't need to pretend. That's being a hypocrite. But if you have a vision of the Lord healing you, if you see yourself in that way, then begin to call yourself healed of that headache before you see it and before you experience it. That's what speaking it does to us. It brings about that desired result. Now, is this what Jesus did? Well, let's look at some things He did. In Hebrews 11:3, and this is really with back to creation, the New Testament version of Genesis 1, says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed, how? By the Word of God. Now, we know in Genesis, it said there was nothing, and God started what? Declaring. He was saying what He was seeing. So that the things which were seen, this earth, were not made of things, weren't of things which are visible. So He took things that existed in His realm and brought them in to this realm that He created for you and I. The Passion Translation says, faith empowers us to see the universe, that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's Word. He spoke, and the invisible realm, the spiritual realm, gave birth to all that is seen. What we're saying here this morning is no different than what we see God did here. We're saying words that decree His promises to us. By His stripes, I've been made whole. All right, I said we'd look at some of Jesus. Luke 7, verses 13 and 14. This is in the city of Nain, where he's walking with His disciples and a multitude, and another multitude, and they converge. And He sees this woman who's lost her husband and now her son. And this verse says, when the Lord saw her, He had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Now, I again can't tell you, if you're praying for others, and the Lord is constantly ministering this to me in recent days, let His compassion flow upon you. So He said to her, do not weep. And then verse 14. Then He came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried Him stood still. And He said, now let's just take this few words at a time. Young man. Now, does that sound like something you would say to a dead body? I mean, how many times have those of us who have male children or grandchildren have said, young man, I'm not talking to him like he doesn't exist. He knows I'm serious with him. So right away, Jesus is talking with a tone that says, he's seeing something different. And then he says, I say to you, arise. Now, notice he didn't say, I say to you, live, then arise. He saw him as living, and he just said, arise. He's calling things that be not as though they were. And this is how we are to operate as well. John 5, by the pool of Bethesda, there was a certain man who had an infirmity for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, that he'd been in that knew that he had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to get well? Now, let's pause right here for a few moments. Why would he ask him this question? Well, some would say, well, he tells us to ask for what we want. I know that's true. But I believe there's more to this. How did this man who had been there for 38 years see himself? We would like to say, well, he saw himself healed. No, he didn't. Just wait till you see his words. It tells you that he couldn't see himself well. This is who a lot of times, particularly for things that happen to us and go for long periods of time, that they become our identity. This is how we see ourselves, and we look at ourselves of being doomed to that condition throughout life. And that's just what the devil wants us to do, because that's not how Jesus sees you. He's already paid the price. So if we find ourselves in that condition, let me just mention two verses that won't be on the screen for those of us who need some encouragement here. Deuteronomy 28, verse 59. Now, 59 is in the part of the curses. But tell me what you have been redeemed from. The curse of the law. I have on my Bible, on my old study Bible, down the right-hand side of the page where all these curses are listed, I am redeemed. Meaning, these don't apply to me. This verse says, extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sicknesses. So if that is you, then what can you say? I am redeemed from that. The fact is, that may be what has happened. But what is the truth? What his word says about it. And truth always trumps or overcomes fact. Same as light coming on darkness. Remember the verse we looked at it about Moses on 11:27 of Hebrews. It said, he endured as seeing him who wasn't able to be seen. Don't give up on yourself. Now, let's continue down. In the seventh verse, you're going to see this come to manifestation. The sick man answered him and said, sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Now here he is before Messiah. Messiah is asking him, do you want to get well? And he can't get his eyes off his current circumstances. I don't stand a chance. In other words, he's saying, yeah, I wish I could get well, but I don't see myself doing that. Verse 8, Jesus then said to him, stand up, rise, depending on which translation you're saying. Take up your bed and walk. I personally believe that when people heard these kind of words from Jesus, just like the man with the withered hand, when he said, stretch forth your hand, that faith rose in them to a point where they could see themselves doing that, even though they didn't understand why. Rise, take up your bed and walk. He told him to do something that he couldn't. And verse 9, and immediately he stood up, and what? He was made well. He took up his bed and walked. His words, Jesus' words, focused on the result of his word being applied. In other words, Jesus saw those words coming to pass, and the man got a glimpse of that as well. That's why a lot of times when you minister to people, folks who just think that it's just impossible for something to happen, that's what we need to address. Now, let me make this statement, and we'll probably get into some of this the next couple of times that I'm teaching. We're going to be talking about things that hinder us from being able to do this. But what is normally our first reaction? Well, I guess I don't have enough faith. Can I just say to you, I don't think it's the faith issue that we need to start with. It's you getting that word revealed in your heart. If you think about this man, we have a helper that was equivalent to Jesus standing in front of him. He had no helper before Jesus. But if the Holy Spirit will quicken this flesh of mine, make it alive, then does he not also quicken his word to you? The Holy Spirit will reveal, will pull back the curtain, will shine light on it, however you want to say it, will allow you to see so you can say, I see that, I take it. Another one, with the centurion in Luke 7, 6 through 8. Now the centurion's servant, who he dearly cared about, was sick, and he had sent people. In one translation, he went and asked Jesus in another. This is the one where he sent people. And then Jesus went with him, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him and said, Lord, do not trouble yourself. I don't think he was troubled at all. For I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy of come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. You begin to see that when we, Freudian slip, yes, but truth. You begin to realize that when we see something as ours and we speak those words, they are now words that are spoken with the authority of Jesus living inside you. And they will produce just as they did with Jesus. That's what the centurion saw. He said, he didn't say, come lay hands on him. He just said, speak the word. I know you see the end result. Now, you say, well, sometimes I just don't know. Look at Luke 6, the 45th verse. One way to know where you're located with your faith is to watch what your words are. Hear your own words. BJ does this with me a lot. She has said to me before, do you really want me to agree with that? And when she does that, then I better pay attention, because I know I've said something that is not what I want to be saying. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart. A good man out of the good treasure of his what? Not his head, but his heart. Seeing with our heart in that spiritual realm. And an evil brings forth good treasure. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart. Now, don't think of evil as some gross sin. In Hebrews 3, I think it is. I don't remember the verse, but the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And what he's talking about was they did not believe him. They did not take confidence in his word. So evil is not something you've done. It may be some way that you've not got that word revealed to you. But what does an evil person do? If he's got evil in his heart, then it brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Now, I think the part in there about the abundance is really important. Something may slip out. Don't crucify yourself with it. Say, go back and say what's in abundance in your heart, if you know it is, and speak it. But I think this is also a warning for us that if we find that we are commonly saying things and our focus is about what's going on versus not, then we locate ourselves in faith. And again, Jesus, he's not going to condemn you. He's just going to encourage you. What did we see the verse earlier? He was strengthened by the word. That's why I say a lot of times I think we have more of a word problem and not getting the word in our heart than we do a faith problem. Because how does faith come? By hearing and hearing the anointed word. So that word anointed has to come to you. So let me go back, and I just want to read in a contiguous manner, Romans 4, verse 17 through 21, and we'll 17 through 20. For as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. You and I have many promises that we can claim. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. And we're told to mimic our Lord. Who, contrary to hope, no matter what we're seeing, something that may be going totally against what we see in the flesh, in hope, based on the promise, believe it. So that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. When the Lord has spoken words, those words will come to pass. We determine whether they come to pass over us or not. Verse 20, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. So don't look at where you are, nor the deadness of Sarah's wombs. And can I say this? Sometimes when you're doing this, you're going to have to maybe tell people that you care about, family, be quiet. Because you don't need to hear what they're seeing all the time either. Verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened, and I'm going to add, by the promise of God in faith. He heard the word, faith grew. And that verse says, faith cometh by. It doesn't say faith may come. If you receive that word, faith will come. But he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. That's who we are. We can do just what Abraham did and have results come to us even when everything in this world is screaming at us. No way. Now, as we close today, I just will give an opportunity, as we always do. And those of you who are looking, if you want to write in, we will pray over what you submit on Facebook, message us, or call the church. But if you want somebody to agree with you today about this, if you're saying, I need to do this, but I just am not ready on my own, then that's why Pastor Trey and I will be more than willing to lay hands on you, to pray with you. But know when you come, at least I'm going to do it, and I would suspect he does it as well a lot. What verse are you seeing? What are you seeing that the Lord has given you that trumps, that overcomes, that drives out the darkness of the evil that has tried to attach itself to you? So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Father, I thank you that Holy Spirit can take these words which I ministered and build on them so that people can hear and begin to see themselves differently. That we look at ourselves not in the light of our feeble state, but in the light of the power and glory of your word. And so we give you glory right now on this side of our healing. Before we see it manifesting, we give you praise and glory that you are true to your word. And Father, I believe that when we do what your word instructs us to, that you will manifest yourself to us, that your power will come on us and will shine brightly, as that word means, to bring about those changes. Make us tender in our hearts to hear the words that come out of my mouth. And help us see that we can control that tongue that wants to go and light fires that come against us. We can overcome that also with your help. Thank you, Father, that you've given us a way to take what looks to be an impossible situation and to turn it around 180 degrees. You be glorified in all that happens to us, because we know goodness comes only from you. And it's in the precious name of Jesus, everyone gave thanks and said, Amen.